Well, hi, Andy Brownell.
Hey, Rich Pearson.
How you doing? Just kind of popped up out of the woodwork here.
That's where I was, in the woodwork.
I didn't mean to be ignoring you for the last 20 minutes.
Well, it was kind of rude.
Yeah, I get that way sometimes. Well, looky here, it's the old guy's in. Gary Drugg from Gary's Appliance Service, where you get your stuff fixed by the old guy. How you doing, Gary?
Well, Rich, I'm still old.
And what are we going to talk about today?
I thought we'd just let it hang for a little bit.
Yeah, just to...
Well, I received a phone question this last week about a RV refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
Recreational vehicle.
Right. Trailer home. Well, not quite.
New subject for the show. An RV refrigerator works very differently than the ones in our homes.
Really?
The biggest difference is they do not have a compressor.
Hmm.
Instead, they have a boiling tank. This tank is heated by gas, electricity, or 12-volt battery. Sans the 2-in-1 type or the 3-in-1 type, depending on how they're going to heat up that boiling tank. The refrigerant used is a mixture of several completely different chemicals. For example, ammonia, water, hydrogen gas, and sodium chromate are one of the examples.
Wow. So yeah, go ahead, Ange.
Obviously, this must use a heck of a lot less juice than a compressor.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't we use it all over the place?
It's not very efficient.
Okay. Well.
Therein lies the rub.
In the smaller one. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I have memories of my father fighting with his various camper refrigerators, boiling washcloths to place in the freezer sections. Later, I realized that absorption cooling process, that's what it's called, absorption refrigeration, actually starts working by absorbing heat that causes it to cool. He really did know what he was doing.
Hmm.
He'd put those hot rags up in that thing to help it pump.
And you were thinking,
I thought
old man, what are you doing?
What's your nuts?
Yeah.
But my father was a high school science teacher, and he knew how it worked. But what he didn't understand was the mixture of the fluids used normally do not mix, like your little light up here.
Uh-huh.
Remember paint before latex? When you opened an old can of oil-based paint, all the oil was floating on the top.
Right.
This is what happens to the refrigerant inside an RV model when it's not running. Now imagine up to 7 different chemicals mixed together. If you think about it, it looked like one of those fancy bar drinks. If
sure.
You can see it.
A black and tan, a black and tan, a black and tan, and a black and tan. All on top of each other.
The light. Drinks that the ladies
red,
have.
Orange, green, blue, white, like your
yeah.
Light.
Hmm.
So you're telling me I should shake it up, shake my refrigerator?
We're getting there.
Okay.
Roll over a bumpy road.
In the 80s, I looked into adding RV sealed system repair to my business. However, the required equipment and the ventilated service area were excessively expensive. Most of the RV repair place guys don't do anything with the sealed systems. They take the refrigerators out and they ship them back to the factory that built them to have the... That's how nasty that stuff is.
That's another reason we don't have them in our houses.
Yeah. That's another reason you don't have it in your house. Hmm. I've learned that if the heater is running, most of the no-cool units are due to lack of use. Campers spend more time sitting than going camping. This time allows the separation to increase. People that camp a lot have fewer problems with these models than those who do not. I've often thought about building a big paint can shaker for RV refrigerators rather than just telling them to drive the camper a couple of miles down the railroad track.
There's your bumpy road, yeah.
So that works, though, just getting it all mixed up.
Well,
again.
As crazy as that sounds, let me give you a real-life example. When I was at Geyer's, one of the guys had a big motorhome, and he went South Dakota a lot. They'd go, his refrigerator wasn't working in the spring like mm-hmm. this. He was getting ready to... And I said, you need to take it out and roll it across your yard. I've talked to people that have said they've done that, or, you know, turn, leave it
literally,
in the garage.
Take it out.
Yeah, taking it out, because they're made to take out. You just unhook the gas line or whatever it's hooked to, take screws out, and it slides out of that hole. And he got this funny look on his face, and I saw him the next day, and he had a car trailer that just, one of those that just put the two wheels on the car. And he had tied his camper refrigerator onto this box, and he dragged it around with, he was an outside salesman, dragged it around for a couple of days this way, you know, bouncing that, and then that thing had bounced like crazy on the back. And he put it in the refrigerator, put it back in his camper, and he went on his trip, and he came back, and he said, it's never worked that good, you know.
So how about those that...
It's a side business. I'll drag your refrigerator around for you for $100.
Bring your refrigerator over, we'll shake it.
So if it's in the process of being used, it'll eventually start working, or if you get it shook up, it will keep working fine, but if it's just sitting unplugged...
It separates because, you know, water doesn't mix with ammonia. You know, it does in cleaners and stuff, but then you get hydrogen gas and some of these other sodiums, and it's, you know, it looks like, if you could look at it in a tube, it would be one float, not, you know, whichever one's lightest, it'd go to the top, so the gas, you know.
You know what I'm doing? I'm just getting a big, giant cooler with a bunch of ice.
That'll work, too. But make sure you put the plug in so the water doesn't leak out all over.
I got it.
And those coolers that heat and cool... That's a solid state thing, and the difference is it's 30 or 40 degrees. So if it's 70 degrees outside, the coldest that your cooler will get is like 40.
Yeah,
and or vice versa, and that's the type of cooling they use in the submarines and stuff for the cold water on the skin of the submarine.
Oh, sure, no, right, all right. Well, interesting stuff. So if you have a need for some service advice, or maybe you just need a part. Give Gary a call at 226-8300 or send him an email, gdrug@hotmail.com, and make sure you put something on that subject line. Right, Gary?
That's correct, Rich.
You could even put, shake my refrigerator on there.
Yes.
And remember, between my truck and the Navis shipping store, I stock the most parts in Rochester. If I should need to order a part, most will come overnight without shipping. But I do work by myself, so sometimes you need to leave a message. 226-8300, Gary's Appliance Service.